Lord God, we thank you for your holy word, and we open our hearts and our minds to you, and we ask that you would cleanse us and change us and train us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we looked at Jonah chapter 1, and we saw that God told his prophet to go to the wicked city of Nineveh in Assyria and preach against it. But Jonah did the opposite. He defies the word of the Lord, and instead he hired a boat to flee to the end of the earth, Tarshish, which was odd behavior for a prophet. But we learned that Jonah's defiant actions were being driven by his hatred of the Assyrians. Because Jonah knew from experience that the Lord is full of grace and compassion, and so if God's word came to Nineveh, chances are that God will have mercy upon Jonah's enemies there. Well, Jonah's defiance didn't work out well for him, and it ends up with him being thrown into the sea amidst a terrible storm and sinking down to the bottom of the ocean. But chapter 1, of course, ends on a famous note of grace when the Lord rescues Jonah from the sea by providing a giant fish to swallow him. So we come to chapter 2 today, which is set inside the belly of that giant fish. And you've probably noticed that chapter 2 is different from the rest of the book in its style. It comes in the form of a psalm. And this psalm gives us Jonah's thoughts about why God has rescued him from the waves, and it shows us how Jonah responds to God's rescue. So let's have a look. You might like to follow along in your Bibles and have it open at Jonah 2. So verse 1 introduces the psalm, and it tells us that from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Now, up until now, Jonah hasn't prayed a single word in the book. But having been miraculously rescued from the sea by the fish, finally Jonah is praying to the Lord. Maybe this is a turning point. And the prayer that Jonah constructs, it's a beautiful and poetic psalm of thanksgiving. He says in verse 3, "You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me, and all your waves and breakers, they swept over me." He's recognized that his situation was from the Lord, and that without the fish, it would have resulted in his death, which is exactly what his defiance deserved. However, Jonah also recognizes that the Lord, in his mercy, has given him life and a second chance. Verse 2, "In my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help and you listened to my cry." Verse 6, "But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." The prophet is coming to his senses. Jonah is accepting God's mercy and he's starting to turn back to God in thankfulness. Verse 4, "I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple." Here Jonah's kind of saying, "God, I'm turning back towards you and your commands. I turned away from you to Tarshish, where I was running, and now I'm turning back towards your temple, the place where your presence dwells on earth." So there's some repentance here. And then in the climax of the psalm, verses 8 and 9, Jonah gives a vow of praise. "To those who cling to worthless idols, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." Jonah concludes, "Salvation will come from the Lord." This is perhaps the key phrase in the entire book of Jonah. And it shows that he's learning. It's finally sunk in for Jonah that salvation is the sole province of God, and the right to decide who should be saved rests with God alone. And so having experienced God's mercy and his undeserved salvation, Jonah's reconsidered his rebellion, and he's now going to obey the word of the Lord and go to Nineveh. And thus in verse 10, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land." So God has compassionately rescued Jonah from a deserved death, and Jonah is responding with thanksgiving. I'm going to put up on the screen a painting. It's called Jonah Leaving the Whale, and it's by a famous Flemish painter called Jan Brueghel the Elder. And I like it. It presents a great image, don't you think? Jonah's emerging from the fish in the dark waters, which represents the darkness of his rebellion. And now he's stepping out onto the beach with his hands affixed in prayer, piously looking up to heaven, repentant and reformed. And you can see in the background, the sun is starting to rise on a new day, and night is breaking, and the first rays are catching Jonah's face, lighting it up, telling us that Jonah has seen the light of God's grace, and he's humbled and he's thankful for his second chance, and now he's going out, joyfully ready and willing to do God's work. And so the painting's a pretty good interpretation of what's going on in chapter 2, is it not? After he's rescued by the fish, Jonah's now in the perfect position to reach out to Nineveh, because he's just like Nineveh. Jonah defied God, making him worthy of judgment, just like Nineveh's wickedness had come up before the Lord, making it worthy of judgment. But God offered Jonah rescue in his compassion and his grace, and thus Jonah can recognize his compassion and praise God for it with this wonderful psalm of thanksgiving. And so the story should now end happily, right? With the repentant Jonah going to this wicked city of Nineveh to tell it about God's grace and mercy that he himself has experienced firsthand. And so Jonah walks out of the fish, full of humble praise, to be recommissioned by God and then to joyfully fulfill his word in Nineveh. Well, maybe. But that's not all that's going on, is it? If, like me, you've read ahead to the end of the book, you might be thinking that when we read Jonah's psalm, something doesn't quite add up. Something doesn't quite fit. Because if Jonah's walking out of the fish, like it shows in this painting, why does the book end the way that it does? We'll have a look at chapter 4 in 2 weeks' time. But we mentioned it briefly last week. Chapter 4 opens with Jonah sitting on a hill above the city of Nineveh, brooding and just wishing that God would destroy this wicked city. He's full of anger because God has had compassion on Nineveh, just like Jonah feared. So what is Jonah's problem? Why is he praying this beautiful psalm of thanksgiving to God in chapter 2, only to be so angry and bitter at the end of the story? Let's have another quick look at Jonah's psalm. Verse 1 again. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. So yes, Jonah is praying. But notice that he is praying once he has been rescued from inside the fish. Not when he first fled to the docks at Joppa, not on the ship when the storm came, not even when he was thrown into the waves. He is only praying after he has been miraculously saved by the giant fish. Verse 4 again. Jonah said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Well, Jonah, I don't remember you being banished. You ran. God didn't send you away. You fled because of your sinful heart. Verse 8 again. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Here Jonah is rightly advocating a total dependence on the Lord and the forsaking of idols or other vain hopes that come to nothing. And that's fair enough, as idols represent an evil rejection of the true God, Yahweh, and salvation comes from Yahweh alone, through grace, for those who turn to him. But Jonah's recently turned away from God. And Jonah, in his prayer here, he's sermonizing about something that he himself has just massively failed. Instead of dependence on the Lord, Jonah's recent history shows that he was the one who vainly fled and rejected the Lord. And nowhere in this psalm do we see any acknowledgement of that, let alone an apology. Verse 9 again. Jonah says, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will make good. Or at least so Jonah says. He's certainly thankful for being saved from drowning, And I think he's amazed that he's been saved by a giant fish. And he's expressing an intent to change. But when we look at the book of Jonah as a whole, it's clear that Jonah's thankfulness evaporates pretty quickly. And so we're left with a stark contrast between chapter 2 and chapter 4. While Jonah's renewed obedience is won through God's mercy to him, it seems Jonah can't work out, or maybe rather he can't accept, that God might be trying to win Nineveh's obedience in the same way that he won Jonah's, through displaying his mercy. And all this puts Jonah's psalm of thanksgiving in a pretty bad light. So what's going on here? Well, it seems that Jonah's repentance was only half-hearted. And perhaps there's some self-delusion going on as well. Remember that Jonah's error was an error of the heart. Because of his hatred, he doesn't want the Assyrians to receive God's mercy. In his great psalm of thanksgiving, maybe Jonah is not so much repenting of the sinful desires of his heart that led him to defy the Lord, but maybe in the psalm, Jonah is just expressing wonder and thanks for his incredible deliverance from the consequences that his sinful heart led him into. Jonah's repentance is half-hearted. He is thankful for God's rescue, he knows he deserves death, and he realized that it was wrong to defy God. But has he realized that his hatred of Assyria was wrong? Because one's actions flow out of one's heart. Despite everything that's gone on, part of Jonah's heart still hates and fears the Assyrians more than it loves and fears the Lord his God. So after the fish, Jonah does indeed return to God, and this time he does obey his word. But the joy and the thankfulness that he experienced from God's rescue soon evaporates, and he's once again in danger of hating the Lord's compassion. Like last week when we looked at chapter 1, there is a warning here for us. Do not be like Jonah. Don't thankfully accept God's salvation from the consequences of your rebellion, but then be unwilling to change your heart to follow his ways. Through Jesus Christ, those who have faith in God will be saved from the consequences of their sin. If you will, Jesus is like the giant fish for all mankind, so that in his death and his resurrection, by faith, we can be rescued from a deserved death and brought into a new and eternal life. But God does not want to only save us from our sins. In Jesus Christ, God also wants to change us, to renew us, to give us new hearts, so that we share his heart of compassion. Don't hold onto some dark corner of your heart like Jonah did, be it anger or pride or rebellion or lust or greed or unforgiveness or whatever it might be, anything that resists God or puts him second in your heart. Rather, let God, by his Holy Spirit, change your heart. And when you pray, be careful not to pray like Jonah. Be careful of making prayers that sound pious on the surface, but completely ignore what's going on inside your heart. Because God can tell the difference. Instead, when you pray, open your heart to God. Today's a communion service. So in a moment, before communion, we'll have an opportunity to pray the following prayer. If you're a regular here at BAC, you will have heard it many times. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have broken your holy laws and left undone what we ought to have done. We're sorry for our sins and we turn away from them. For the sake of your Son, who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Like Jonah's prayer, it's a beautiful prayer. But be careful to remember what you are asking and who you are asking it to when you pray this prayer. We are asking God to cleanse and change our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So let him. Don't be like Jonah and be unwilling to change your heart to follow God's ways. I'd like to make one final point. We will, of course, return to Jonah in our sermon series over the next few weeks. But for now, what does Jonah's half-hearted repentance show us about God and God's character? You might have noticed that chapter 2 is the only chapter of the book of Jonah where God doesn't speak to Jonah. And maybe that's a good thing. God doesn't nitpick and he doesn't correct Jonah's half-hearted repentance, and he doesn't point out some of the perhaps hypocrisies and inaccuracies in his prayer. But God's actions speak volumes. Having rescued Jonah and listened to his questionable prayer, for now, God is simply gracious and patient with Jonah. And so he simply commands the fish to bring Jonah back to dry land. While later in the book, God will continue to work on Jonah's heart and continue to train Jonah's heart. In the same way, God is gracious and patient with those who he rescues in Jesus Christ. He delights to respond even to our smallest little steps of repentance. So even if we do miss the mark, we can trust that God is not yet finished with us. And in Jesus Christ, he will continue to train our hearts by his Holy Spirit. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your compassion, and we recognize that salvation belongs to you alone. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, you bring your people rescue from eternal death and give us eternal life. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know that we do not always follow your ways. But Lord, we open our hearts to you. We open them to you again. We thank you for your grace and your patience, and we thank you that you will continue to cleanse us and change us by your Holy Spirit, so that our hearts will be evermore like yours. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.